even though we're in the new year, I want to still bring one more message on the Christmas theme. And today we want to think on the subject, sorrow followed joy. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2. Someone wrote, pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll. Pressure by foes and pressure by friends, pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. Pressed into loving the staff and the rod, pressed into knowing no helper but God, pressed into liberty where nothing clings, pressed into faith for impossible things. Pressed into living a life in the Lord, pressed into living a Christ life outpoured. Everybody has problems of some kind. Some are little, but some are intense, heart-wrenching, bringing great sorrow. But there's a purpose in everything we face. God uses even the worst problems to produce in us Christ-like character. As we think of Christmas, remember what the Christmas account involved. It involved a prophecy. It involved certain people, a place where Jesus was born, and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to think today upon what happened about 2 years later after his birth. This time involved problems, and they were great problems. I want to start today by reading Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now these were wise men, not kings. You remember the song, We Three Kings from Orion Are. Well, these are wise men, not kings. Also, we don't know for sure how many wise men there were. They presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that doesn't necessarily mean that there were just three gifts presented by three men. Maybe there were three, or maybe there were more, and each one gave this type of a gift. But regardless, these were wise men, or probably priest sages. They probably lived in the area of Old Babylon, of the Medo-Persian area, which included Old Babylon, the Iraq and Iran area now. To get to Israel, they would have traveled northwest to go around the desert, and then south down into Israel. They very well could have traveled around 1,000 miles or more to reach Jerusalem. But let's look back just a bit into previous history. Remember, the northern tribes were taken into captivity to Assyria, and then later Judah was taken into captivity to Babylon. And there were such men as Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and they served and ministered there. And then there was Ezra, Nehemiah, and Mordecai, and Queen Esther. Also, remember that King Nebuchadnezzar became a believer under Daniel's influence. Though these wise men lived 400 or 500 years later, they were probably believers as a result of the biblical influence that still existed in the land. A good lesson: if we live godly lives, the influence of our lives may bear fruit for many years into the future. Now, back to the wise men. These men studied the scriptures, believed in, and looked for the coming of the Messiah. They longed to see him before they died. We should have the same intense desire for his second coming. Now, what about the star? Scripture never promised that a new bright star would shine to show that Christ was born. As they searched and studied the scriptures, however, they evidently read Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. And in Numbers 24:17 we read, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth." Now notice there it refers to a star, but the star there refers to Jesus. There shall come Jesus out of Israel. And then the scepter referred to his rule as king, and that will be yet future, even now. They must have asked God that since he used the word star to refer to Jesus, that he would then use a star to reveal to them when Jesus was born. God gave them what they asked for, and also used the star to later show them where he lived. This is a good reminder that God answers prayer when our desires are in the center of his will and for his glory. Now back to the wise men. They made great effort to see Jesus, willing to travel perhaps 1,000 miles or more by camel, a trip that took close to 2 years. And Why do we think 2 years? Well, back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, we read, When Herod saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. This would have been a long, hard, tiring trip. Do we make great effort and sacrifice to serve the Lord and do what he wants us to do? What difference will Christ make in our life this year, 2021? Now the wise men came to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, to find out where the king was. He was still in Bethlehem, but not in the manger or in the stable. He was in a house now. Notice in Matthew 2, verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, not a baby, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now they fell on their knees and worshipped him and presented their costly gifts to Jesus. A good lesson. Wise men and women still seek Jesus, and they still worship him, and they still liberally give to him. Now, so far, there doesn't seem to be any problems, only devotion, sacrifice, and worship. However, the most godly are not exempt from problems. But it is not the wise men here that experience the problems, but others. Notice verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It says that when the wise men came and asked where the king of the Jews was born, it says Herod was troubled because of the child whom he looked at as a rival. Now, why were the people of Jerusalem also troubled? Because they knew how ruthless Herod was. They knew that if Herod was troubled, then who knows what he might do. Now, let's think of an example of what type of man Herod was. We are told that later, when Herod was on his deathbed, he commanded that the principal men of the entire Jewish nation should come to his presence, whom he then shut up in a large building and surrounded them by soldiers. And he gave orders that immediately after his own death, which he expected would be soon, those Jewish men should be killed. He wanted to make sure that when he died, there was mourning at his funeral. Now, back to the wise men. He told the wise men that after they found him, they should return to tell him where Jesus was so that he could go and worship him also. And then God warned the wise men not to do that, so they did not go back through Jerusalem. And notice verses 13 to 15. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and left to go into Egypt. And they were there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. And then notice verses 16 through 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not, or they were killed. All the male children from 2 years of age and under were slain in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. You can only imagine the grief and sorrow that existed during that time. What should have continued to be a time of great joy following the birth of Christ and that was turned into a time of much sorrow and weeping. How quickly things can change. One day there's joy, and the next day there can be heartache. But because of Jesus' coming, salvation and eternal joy was offered to all who believe in him, even to those who had children slain at that time. Someone wrote, in golden youth, when seems the earth a summer land for singing mirth, when souls are glad and hearts are light, and not a shadow lurks in sight, we do not know it, but there lies somewhere veiled under evening skies a garden each must sometimes see. Gethsemane, Gethsemane, somewhere his own Gethsemane. With joyful steps we go our ways. Love lends a halo to the days. Light sorrows sail like clouds afar. We laugh and say, how strong we are. We hurry on and hurrying go, close to the borderland of woe that waits for you and waits for me. Gethsemane, Gethsemane, forever waits Gethsemane. Down shadowy lanes, across strange streams, bridged over by our broken dreams, behind the misty cape of years, close to the great salt front of tears, the garden lies. Strive as you may, you cannot miss it in your way. All paths that have been or shall be pass somewhere through Gethsemane. All who journey soon or late must pass within the garden's gate, must kneel alone in darkness there and battle with some fierce despair. God pity those who cannot say, not mine but thine, but instead who only pray, let this cup pass, and cannot see the purpose of Gethsemane. Gethsemane, Gethsemane, God help us through our Gethsemane, or in other words, times of trial and times of grief and times of sorrow. Jesus at birth was wrapped in swaddling clothes, clothes that were used to wrap the dead, and about a year and a half to 2 years later, Herod sought to kill him. And then at about age 30 to 33, the Pharisees sought to kill him. And then at age 33, they were successful and put him to death, the death on the cross. But all was experienced so that we might be able to have our sin forgiven and have eternal life when we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. All our problems and heartaches are so that we might have blessings from His hand. Remember what Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." So no matter what kind of problems or sorrow or trials that we go through, if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, a child of God, then God works everything that we face for our good. God brings good out of no matter what happens. All things work together for good to them that love God and are His children. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus, and we thank You that even though Herod tried to kill Him as a young lad, yet he was not successful. Then we thank You that Jesus grew up, and at about 33, He went to the cross, and He died there for our sin, that we might have our sin forgiven and have eternal life. And Lord, we thank You for the wonderful promise that no matter what kind of problems or trials that we go through, the believer has Jesus Christ abiding with him or her. And we are told that You will give us the help and strength we need no matter what the problem is, and that all things that we go through and face work together for our good, that we might become more Christ-like and that we might become more godly in our lives. We thank You, Father, for this. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.